nukes.
Remember when the only thing we really had to make fun of a president for was when he said nuclear?
Yes. Yeah, remember, I remember that. I do remember that.
Golden time.
Yeah, these are nukes without that necessary process where you got to spin them up, spin all the stuff up really fast for a long time. These are nukes that are just hanging out. It's not nukes. These are materials mm-hmm. yes. that are functioning as a nuclear reactor in the ground.
Yeah, and also just like out of nature. And they're 2 billion years old. And they are in Gabon, West Africa.
And we'll tell you all about it. Here is this classic episode.
From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
And I'm Ben.
And right off the bat, by the way, it's stuff they don't want you to know. You know that. You clicked on the thing. You're listening to it.
Some people have it on shuffle. You know what I mean? You might
be
on a road trip or, yeah.
Well, guess what? This is stuff they don't want you to know. And right off the bat today, we're going to talk about a thing that I got wrong. Something that I don't know why I got it wrong, but I was just thinking.
I think I got it wrong.
No, I don't know that you did. I think it was me because I just started rambling about it. Anyway, we're talking about AD and BC, and I said, I did the old thing that I guess I learned somehow in church. I don't know where I learned it, but the whole before Christ, after death thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not at all what it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We know this. We heard your emails and tweets and responses, and a lot of people were really courteous about this. I think we just misspoke because it's something that we both knew. And when we're doing a casual conversation playing with live fire, some things can slip through. But Matt, go ahead and let us know what it stands for.
Well, it means Anno Domini, which is actually the year of our Lord, AD, mm-hmm. when you use AD. So my bad.
You know, Matt, honestly, I thought we would get a lot more listener mail from people who were angry at us because we were exploring the history of the Bible.
Yes, even for having that conversation. But it didn't turn out that way, at least not yet. Maybe in a year after it's been floating around, we'll get some of that mail.
Yeah, but thank you guys so much for listening. And today we would like to start the podcast with a story.
In 1972, an employee at a French nuclear fuel processing plant noticed something weird about the uranium ore he was working on. All natural uranium contains three forms with different atomic masses. There's U-238, U-234, and U-235. Now, the last one is the most desirable because this is the one that you can use to sustain a nuclear reaction. And typically, U-235 makes up only about 0.72% of the ore. But the sample this guy is looking at, it had 0.717. Now, it's a small amount, a small difference, but this guy freaked out because there's only one way that that can happen, and that's through
a nuclear reaction. So, this poor guy, of course, he, as you said, he freaks out. He lets the scientists know, you know, hey, where's this ore from? What's going on? Because I think they have nuclear power somewhere. And the scientists trace this sample back to a place called the Oklo Uranium Deposit in the highlands of Gabon. Ore from part of the mine was way, way shorter of uranium-235 than it should have been. As an article in Scientific American pointed out, there were about 200 kilograms missing. And that is important because by way of measurement, that is enough to make about a dozen nuclear bombs.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what the F is going on here, Ben?
Yeah, that's what...
that's the question.
Yeah, right. Well, the answer comes from a much earlier prediction, and they found it as they were digging around. This happened in 1972, right? They find the weird uranium. Mm-hmm. In 1953, these two guys, George Weatherhill and co-author Mark Ingram, argued that some uranium deposits might have once been natural versions of nuclear reactors.
That's crazy. So what they postulate is that somehow a stray neutron caused this U-235 to split, and then it gave off more neutrons, and it caused this chain reaction.
Yeah, that last part is from a scientist named Paul Kuroda at the University of Arkansas. There are a couple of conditions, he said, for this to occur. The deposit has to be at least longer than 2/3 of a meter, which would be the length that the neutron would travel.
The second thing you need is enough U-235. Today, most of the concentrated deposits can't become reactors because the U-235 is just too low. The concentration's too low. And today, it's less than 1% in a deposit. But 2 billion years ago, it could have been around 3%.
Right. And next, you'll need a neutron moderator of some sort, something that can slow the neutrons given off when a nucleus splits and make them more likely to hit and split other atoms.
And the last thing is you have to have no substantial amount of boron, lithium, or any other substances that would absorb the atoms and halt the reaction.
So this sounds like a lot of stuff to have happen by chance, right?
Yes.
It turns out this all actually did just happen, as far as we can tell, in Gabon about 2 billion years ago, and not just once, but about 16 times.
So physicists around the world studied this evidence. They looked at these natural nuclear reactors, and they all came together to share their work on this, quote, Oklo phenomenon at a special 1975 conference in the capital of Gabon.
And the fossil reactor wasn't just known for uranium. That I'd like to read a quote from Scientific American when they were trying to figure out how this could happen. Some of the neutrons released during the fission of uranium-235 were captured by the more abundant uranium-238. Which became uranium-239 and, after emitting two electrons, turned into plutonium-239. More than 2 tons of this plutonium isotope were generated within the Oklo deposit. And the quote goes on, sorry. Although almost all of this material, which has a 24,000-year half-life, has since disappeared, primarily, they think, through natural decay, some of the plutonium itself underwent fission, as attested by the presence of its characteristic fission products. The abundance of those lighter elements allowed scientists to deduce that fission reactions must have gone on for hundreds of thousands of years. So not only was this a natural nuclear reactor that just sort of happened, but it also just sort of happened for hundreds of thousands of years. From the amount of uranium, they think that it released about 15,000 megawatt years overall. So the average power output was a little disappointing.
Yeah, a little less than 100 kilowatts. But still, that's enough to run some toasters, maybe?
Yeah, and 2 billion years ago, toast was like the main thing.
Yeah,
right?
Man, if you didn't have toast, then who are you? Get out of here.
Before anybody finishes that email, we know that there weren't toasters.
Yeah.
Or as far as we know, right? Let's keep it safe. So they were able to do some forensic work on this by analyzing xenon, a heavy inert gas, and this gas can stay imprisoned in minerals for billions of years. And because it's rare, scientists can use it to detect and trace these nuclear reactions, even those that occurred in primitive meteorites before the solar system happened.
That's, hold on a second, calculating, understanding, nope, okay. So, Ben, mm-hmm. Let's get to the meat of this.
Okay.
Seriously.
Yeah.
How did this happen? Why didn't when it became this more volatile version
right.
of uranium, why didn't it just explode or decay further?
Yeah, yeah. Since we're a family show, I guess the best way to say it is, why didn't the sleeve hit the fan?
Yeah.
And there we go.
And then pull the rest of the uranium up into the fan and then just got thrown
around the room.
Yeah, all the change fell out of its pocket.
Yeah. That's a great question. And from what we're seeing, at least everything we found, is that the Oklo reactors kind of regulated themselves in a really neat way. The most likely candidate for this regulation would be groundwater. So here's what they think happened.
Okay.
They think that the nuclear chain reaction was happening and there was water around to act as that neutron moderator to slow the neutrons so that they could continue the reaction. As the reactor, or the reaction area maybe is a better way to say it, reached the critical level or critical temperature, the water boiled away, and then the chain reaction would have ceased and cooled off to the point where water could come back, and then it starts again.
Oh, that's crazy. So it was functioning as a nuclear reactor the way we use them now, by dipping the rods into the water and then taking the rods out of the water and causing the reaction. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Whoa, man. That's weird to think about, that a natural process could do the same thing that we spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to produce.
Yeah, it just happened.
But it did it over a long period of time, and still, that's mind-boggling. Okay, so when they're looking at the Oklo reactor, they found that it switched on for about 30 minutes, then off for at least 2.5 hours. And they see this in almost all the deposits. So not only is the groundwater going over it and accounting for the self-regulation, it protected these reactors from destruction. And in this way, it was really effective. Not only was it not allowing any kind of meltdown or explosion during these kinds of years, but it was just regulating the thing to an extent where you have this beautiful chain reaction that they can now see.
And here's another weird thing that just happened. It stored nuclear waste really well. I mean, that's something that humans still haven't really cracked the code on. There are some amazing ideas, as a matter of fact, about how to warn future civilizations, not necessarily humans, to stay away from nuclear waste.
Yeah, trying to come up with a universal sign that anyone from any time would be able to go, okay, I'm not going near there.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think about that. If the human race were to just die, right, something happens, only a few enclaves of people are alive for a while, and then by a few hundred years, they've dwindled, and like the last person dies, and then buildings crumble, great stone monuments also crumble, the seas and the forest take over the cities. And eventually, the only thing that an alien civilization would see that was a sign we were there would be nuclear waste.
Yeah.
Which is totally like...
because it would be anomalous to the natural settings. They would find the Oklo. It would be like stumbling upon that their own version of the Oklo reactors. Just now they're in these weird deposits. Why is all this uranium and plutonium over here?
Yeah, and that's a weird thing, because although we have not cracked the code, we being the human species, not you and I, Matt, we do know that this proves a tremendously efficient nuclear reactor, if not a tremendously powerful one. And that's where we go to the crazy stuff, because we have been saying for the entirety of this podcast, and all of that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Or did it?
Ooh, dun, dun, dun.
So here's the deal. We talked about this in the vlog when we were covering this, and in the vlog, we talked about how they buried the lead in one of these Scientific American articles, and they said, maybe we should just do the quote.
Okay, here's the quote. The Oklo reactors may teach scientists about possible shifts in what was formerly thought to be a fundamental physical constant, one called alpha, which controls such universal qualities as the speed of light.
Boom. I can't think of an appropriate sound effect. Maybe our super producer Noel has one. Yep, that's it. That's the perfect one, because that is mind-blowing. The idea that all of these constants we perceive in the universe may not be as constant as we think. You know, do they change if you're in another neighborhood of reality?
It's possible, but we have to remember this is one subject, one time that we are noticing that this constant isn't the same, right?
Right, yep.
So any of you out there, shrugging and going, oh, God, they don't understand. Just note that we do understand that this is one instance of a constant that seems to not be the same, right?
The speed of light, it just sounds so emo now. They just don't understand the speed of light. It's true. And it's a really good observation, because what we're finding is bizarre, because we know that now a reaction like this probably wouldn't occur in the wild. There's simply not enough uranium in those deposits. So how did it work differently? Was there just more U-235 in these deposits? Did it somehow take less of it? Did nuclear reactions, work differently? What we're seeing is that the fundamental concepts of the glue binding the spine of the universe into a book may just be non-existent, or as you said, just in our neighborhood.
Or Ben, here's the best theory. What if this is a sign of ancient technology? What if this was made this way? What if aliens?
Or what if we're the aliens who found the nuclear waste?
Ooh.
You know? Are we a butterfly having a dream, et cetera, right?
Et cetera. Yeah, that's how that is.
That one? Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember. No, I'm kidding. We do remember the whole quote, but it is a nice way to flip the perspective. So yeah, what if it was somehow made? Here's the deal. If it was made by people, and if ancient history is remotely true, then, people would have to be around way longer than we thought. If this thing really is 2 billion years old, then there's no one we know of who would be capable of doing that. People weren't around. We were just a twinkle in the universe's eye.
Unless it's been so long since the previous iteration of intelligence on this planet, Ben, that we didn't find anything, like you said, but the uranium deposit.
Which is weird, because that, from what we know about the formation of the Earth, whomever was surviving, right, who would be intelligent enough to create a nuclear reaction, they had to be some hard cases, because Earth was a brutal place. And
yeah, it was.
Billions of years ago. I don't know. We received some interesting letters from people before about doing an ancient technology podcast. And we know that a lot of the skeptical folks listening in the audience will roll their eyes and say, this is not worth it. But newsflash, there really has been ancient lost technology that was rediscovered, right?
Oh yeah. You can look at the Antikythera mechanism. Mm-hmm. We talked about that before in a video podcast a long time ago.
Yep.
I'd love to do an audio show about that. Then you even got the Greek fire.
Right. Yeah. That is, that was a weapon that the Greeks would use. And the secret of making this was lost for a very long time. That's not the only example. Of course, we can have an entire other show about historical or archaeological anachronisms, you know, things out of time.
Baghdad batteries.
Right. Yeah. Baghdad batteries, which I think was used for silver plating, but I'm not sure. We'll wait for it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt. So we want to know what you think. Now, we've gotten some great letters about, especially in, South Asia areas, mm-hmm. Pakistan, Bangladesh, India.
Yeah.
We've gotten letters about various descriptions of what may be ancient technology. And we know that historically, India is a powerhouse of brilliant innovations. You know, a lot of, if you're not familiar with some of the history of inventions and concepts that come from South Asia, then, you know, take an afternoon off, tell your boss you're going to learn about the world.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with that.
Right. Doesn't everybody get a day off to learn about the world?
At least a day.
And we'd like to know your suggestions of what sort of ancient technology we should look at. And if you think it is possible, tell us this. Do you think it is possible that that humanity as we know it has gotten the entire story of history wrong? And when I say that, what I mean is, do you think it's possible that there could have been some other civilization that was responsible for nuclear reactors? Because it looks like everything we see, it looks like these just happened. Mm-hmm. As ridiculously weird as that sounds.
And they've yet to be explained perfectly, but they've been explained adequately, at least for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like just the lottery of strange coincidences and just right moments, unless that is somehow an intelligent force made them, but then the question would be, why haven't we seen anything else?
Because, you know, Ben, I hear that there are no coincidences. At least that's what I hear.
I got a fortune cookie that said that one time. That was a weird moment in my life. So I was like, oh, this is also not a coincidence. Yeah, you ever have those days where everything seems laden with meaning and symbolic and stuff?
All the time.
Yeah, it happens to me when I don't get enough sleep, which is all the time.
All right, guys, so write to us. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Conspiracy Stuff on both of those.
And that's the end of this classic episode. If you have any thoughts or questions about this episode, you can get into contact with us in a number of different ways. One of the best is to give us a call. Our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. If you don't want to do that, you can send us a good old-fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.